Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Hope everyone's doing well. Second of three shows this week. And this show, a little unexpected, but kind of took the shot, and here we go. We have John Alba, who is a sports reporter and host for Spectrum News 13 in Orlando, Florida. He's going to join us for a quick 30-minute chat. And what we talked about was his work, his and the investigative team down there at Spectrum News 13, regarding essentially how pro sports came to be deemed essential businesses in the state of Florida, which has obviously been a big story for our website because and many others as well, because WWE was one of the entities tagged under that. And a lot of people were surprised about that. It became a global story, kind of just a lot of talking heads and news organizations kind of curious how WWE and professional wrestling in general was deemed to be essential businesses. So we talk a little bit about their work on that, kind of how the story came together with a quote that the mayor basically started with a quote from the mayor on Monday and just kind of spiraled out of that. And here we are as we talk on Wednesday WWE and basically all professional sports are deemed essential and what that could mean for the future, and also how Linda McMahon somehow may tie into all this as well. So good conversation, 30 minutes. If you kind of just want to catch up on this story and how it came to be down in Florida, what's going on down there, what's next, I think you guys really enjoy this. So myself, John Alba of Spectrum News 13, Orlando, Florida, and also the Living the Gimmick Wrestling Podcast, which we talk about as well. So enjoy. Well, Tuesday turned out to be pretty crazy, didn't it? Every single day seems that, there's nothing going on in the regular sports world, but in the, fake sports world, the make-believe sports world, whatever you want to call it, and actually the real one with UFC, news is just made every single day, and here talking on a late Tuesday night, not talking about Dark Side of the Ring, but talking about WWE and a story that he helped contribute to today. You may have heard him before with our own Jim Valley on his Living the Gimmick podcast. However, he's also a sports reporter for Spectrum News 13 out of Orlando, Florida, and also my limitless wrestling friend, John Alba, making his debut here on, I believe, on WrestlingObserver.com in general, but also on this podcast. And John, like I said when I called you, I didn't expect to be talking to you tonight, but here we are.
No, and don't sell yourself short. You've hopped on that Living the Gimmick flow in the past too, which I'm very much appreciative of. And I appreciate you having me. I've been a long time Observer subscriber, so I appreciate the opportunity to discuss this a little further.
I should say you're also a worker as well, you've stepped in the ring yourself. I mean, don't sell yourself short.
I'll let the audience decide what terminology they want to refer to me as, whether it's a worker or someone who's working himself in the process. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. So for those that have are familiar with Limitless Wrestling or also the sister promotion Less Wrestle, both based out of Maine, you can see that on Limitless Wrestling's YouTube page, as well as obviously the podcast, which I've been a contributor to from time to time. And hopefully we'll get to some more live events soon and be able to start talking about that. But John, the reason I want to talk to you is for your real life Spectrum News 13 and the story that you contributed to today, being Tuesday, with the investigative team there regarding WWE and this whole craziness down in Florida, and Linda McMahon got brought in the whole mix and all this. So I guess for the listeners that may not be as familiar, may think this stuff just kind of comes together like, a snap of fingers. Talk a little bit about how this thing first kind of came together and how you got involved in this project.
I think what happens with a situation like this, obviously, when you're covering professional wrestling, you tend to notice, okay, is this kind of thing a big story? And not just pro wrestling, but sports in general. Is this something that is worth delving more into? And I had seen a lot of discussion from a lot of people reasonably over why WWE and professional wrestling in general, like AEW as well, have been allowed to keep running. And we saw the news this past weekend that WWE was going to continue its live tapings here in Orlando. And we saw the news that there was a positive coronavirus test. And the more that I started putting some feelers out there, the more I was realizing that there were some individuals who were a little higher up on that totem pole who were also wondering what kind of answers can we have for these questions that we have. So the wheel kind of got spinning in that sense, and things came together pretty darn quickly over the last 48 hours or so.
And so you work with, and I do not know how to pronounce Stephanie's last name. How do you pronounce
it? You can just call her Stephanie. That's fine. Okay. Stephanie is our watchdog reporter over at Spectrum News 13.
Right. So Stephanie and John worked together on this, and you know, looking at some of the tweets, there's a story posted on the website as you're listening to this right now. And I mean, essentially, again, where we started was this WWE being deemed as essential, which got picked up pretty big on mainstream news all around the world on Tuesday, you know, drawing the, you know, kind of the sneers from a lot of people who obviously are not, you know, maybe into pro wrestling, obviously, or just kind of don't really understand, or they think of it as a certain way, which I think a lot of anti-wrestling people do. We're used to that. But just I think beneath that was just questioning why this decision was made, and we, you guys kind of dug into it. So basically, there was a memo issued on April 9th that essentially all professional sports, it's a much longer definition, but essentially, quote-unquote, professional sports and media production with a national audience, unquote, deeming those essential businesses, and that includes WWE. Essentially saying that any pro sports organization in media production following, like, you know, WWE, AEW, UFC, boxing, even I think you might have mentioned this earlier, the Orlando Magic could scrimmage right now if they wanted to, and they just choose not to. So it basically just kind of opening up the doors for anyone to run, provided that there's no fans in attendance. So obviously for wrestling fans, this opens up a myriad, and wrestling companies rather, this opens up a myriad of possibilities with obviously WWE, you know, green lighting their, them still going to the Performance Center, and also AEW as well. That's kind of the first part of it. When this decision in that memo was revealed, I mean, that people were kind of wondering, as you were mentioning, how this could happen, and they kind of got their answer and then found out there's a few layers tied to that.
Well, and I want to be as thorough as possible here when discussing this. So even prior to what you're referring to as a memo, but in actuality, it's an executive order by the governor's office. Even before that came down, where this really got cooking, so to speak, was it with the Orange County mayor's office. Mayor Demings, Mayor Jerry Demings, said in a press conference on Monday, when asked about WWE, that the county had deemed WWE as a non-essential entity, but it was then overruled by the governor's department after conversations with the governor's office. And then we found out about the executive order that had kind of quietly been issued, dated on April the 9th, which would have been on Thursday. And it was then that we got, as you alluded to, the details of this, which allows for any professional sport or entertainment or media entity with a national audience to run so long that there is no evidence of a spectator in attendance or anything as such, and only essential personnel. So we were just looking into that because obviously, you know, that draws some questions, especially after you hear that, well, the county had said they were not essential. Now, all of a sudden, the governor says they are. So what changed in that time? And that's kind of where this was a jumping off point. And we wanted to find these answers. And before I delve further into this, Josh, I do want to say this. You know, it's something that I've seen on social media. I've gotten tons of tweets about it and messages about it. There is no agenda here against any politician or entity or WWE or anything. Just these are questions that are being asked by a lot of people. And as a journalist, it is our job to take a look into that and try to find answers to those questions. And in our research, we found that the America First, and I want to pull up the exact name for this here, the super PAC that Linda McMahon, who of course was in President Donald Trump's cabinet at one point, it was her super PAC that she now runs, the America First Action PAC, committed to pumping in $18.5 million to both the Orlando and Tampa markets for the purpose of reelecting Donald Trump on the same day that this executive order was filed, April 9th. And then it was the next day that Vince McMahon reportedly made the decision to tape live in Orlando. And I believe since this, the America First Super PAC contacted ABC News and told them that it's merely a coincidence, more or less, in that this had been planned for a week and that looking any further into that is just trying to make something out of nothing. The counter to that is that, of course, an executive order can take some time to draft as well. We don't know the specifics to that as of this moment. But I also, and I apologize for kind of being a little thorough here, but I had been made aware that the Orange County Sheriff's Department had answered some calls regarding WWE. And upon contacting them, they revealed to us that the Sheriff's Department was called several times to the WWE Performance Center over the past few weeks. And they told the company that it was not in compliance with the existing executive order at the time and that they would have to shut down operations. They were called again on April 13th, which would have been Monday Night Raw this past week. But at that point, the new executive order allowed for them to run.
So that's a great point, because that was something that we had not heard before was, you know, and you see in some of these orders that essentially authorities can be called to investigate this. We saw this, I was reading through like Tennessee's, I was reading all these executive orders these days. Really fun nighttime reading, looking at Tennessee's, because Impact Wrestling just ran there 3 days last week. And correct, they have the same setup as states doing the same thing as everyone else is. And everyone's kind of like, I don't understand this is happening. But yeah, I mean, so that was even on as of Monday, after this order was already signed, they were showing up and just checking things. And is that, I mean, for as much as you're able to say, what do they do in that situation? Are they basically just go and check out what's going on? I mean, what are they looking for?
Right. So we don't know the specifics of the calls, but we do know that they were called. They went there. They told them that they were not in compliance with the existing executive order, and they advised them that they would have to shut down. Obviously, that did not happen. And with the new executive order that was put in place, they were allowed to run. But as I noted in the timeline here, the Sheriff's Department told us that it happened within the last few weeks, dating, if you say few weeks, you know, we're assuming that's dating back into March. The question is, did that happen before WrestleMania was taped? Maybe. Did it happen after? We don't know. But all they would tell us was this.
And you mentioned something else you mentioned earlier that I think it's important to note is the role of the media. And this is what media and journalism is supposed to be. And it, like you said, there's no agenda behind it. It's just a question of this doesn't seem to make sense. So let's put the pieces together to see how it does make sense. And I think people are curious when something gets, you know, worldwide news, like how is WWE deemed an essential business? I don't think people are just going to turn the other way and just be like, ah, whatever, who cares? Like, they're curious how these decisions come together,
right?
Because they are made by elected officials who are responsible for saying this is how these came together. Now, whether or not we get the straight answer on these, that's a different story. But this is what journalism is supposed to do. This is the whole idea is,
right,
tell us what happened. But I can see why. You know, especially in social media with this whole, like, you know, this ridiculous, if you're a fan of WWE, you can't be a fan of AEW and vice versa, which is just the most ridiculous stuff ever. You know, you're trying to go after somebody. We just saw this last week with, you know, the UFC event being canceled.
Well,
right?
And I want to piggyback off that, because I can't stress this enough, too. This executive order is not WWE centric. It applies to a lot of other things that WWE is now a beneficiary of. it was a little surprising that it was an executive order that was signed on Thursday and we didn't even hear about it until Monday night. But think about this, as you were saying earlier, WWE is not the lone beneficiary here. AEW, if it wants to, can now run in Florida, presumably Jacksonville, I would assume. If it wants to, and we got the news that Double or Nothing is not going to be held in Las Vegas as planned. So if they want to, in theory, run that in Jacksonville, they could. If UFC wanted to run in the state of Florida, I spoke with a source earlier today who, you know, he's got some knowledge of different entities, and he said to me right off the bat, I can't imagine Dana White won't be running a show in Florida within 2 months, and even speculated that, hey, it could even happen at the Performance Center with all we know. So UFC now would have that ability, because keep in mind with UFC, it was the California government that put the pressure on Disney and ESPN to kind of kibosh that. But now Disney and ESPN would have to go back on that too. But in theory, the Orlando Magic could have a basketball game tomorrow. The Tampa Bay Bucks could go out on Raymond James Stadium and play a team of fifth graders. You know, it's all this stuff is possible now.
And Bob Arum earlier today saying that they may look into bringing boxing to the Performance Center as well. So this just, I mean, this just opens up a
right. And what it boils down to, Josh, it's your moral compass. Is it worth running? And some will say, yes, it is. And you need this. People need these distractions. People need the money. Others will say no. And the big thing that we are still not getting an answer to is Governor DeSantis's office said that one of the reasons for allowing WWE to run was because of the immense economic impact that WWE has on Florida. But obviously in this environment, there's no live gate to be had. Fans are not in attendance for these shows. Raymond James Stadium is not hosting WrestleMania right now. So where is that positive economic impact? We reached out to the governor's office. They did not get back. It was sort of approached in his press conference on Tuesday, and he kind of shied away from answering that. So, you know, those are all certainly valid questions that remain out there.
Why Florida? Well, I think a lot of people just don't understand why. Is it from the governor, just the governor's opinion down? Is it something else we're not seeing? Like, why all of a sudden, why is Florida being the exception to this rule for allowing this? And are they trying to be a leader in this? Is it politically aligned? I mean, what to the extent you can say, what is your take?
I mean, again, I don't want to provide too much opinion on this, but I think going off of what Governor DeSantis said in his press conference on Tuesday, he wants to see sports and events like that run if they can safely, or what is presumed to be safely. He specifically mentioned NASCAR. He specifically mentioned a potential Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson showdown that he would like to see happen. And WWE was included in that. And if these events can run, quote unquote, safely, he thinks that those will be necessary distractions for people. But again, as we've discussed, it is no secret that the McMahon family does have extensive ties to the GOP. To President Trump. President Trump mentioned Vince McMahon in his White House availability on Tuesday. Linda McMahon served in his cabinet, in his administration, rather, and is the head of his reelection super PAC. So those are all going to be questions that all surface with this. And, you know, could there be political motivation behind all this stuff? There certainly could be. I'm not telling you that there is, but I'm telling you what we did come across today is that there are certainly some interesting coincidences that line up.
Another thing I saw on social today, it might mean your conversations or actually I think it was that if for whatever reason, you know, Los Angeles can't host Mania next year, and that sounds insane to think of right now, but given who you listen to and what you listen to and what you believe, that we are in completely uncharted territory when it comes to dealing with a pandemic. We've never dealt with this before. You know, everyone that's alive, that just hasn't happened. We think we know, but the virus is going to tell us what happens and what dates, and as much as we like it or not, if for some reason, you know, they can't do Mania in Los Angeles, you know, could Tampa potentially be a fallback option to return? And how does that play into this whole thing, right?
And that's something that someone brought up to me a few days ago, even as this was all starting to come together. Who knows? If you're a conspiracy theorist believer in all of this, maybe that was part of all these discussions. Who knows? Obviously, Tampa didn't get to experience the show that it was promised. And, you know, WrestleMania brings in $150 million-plus every single year to these cities. So I think regardless, Tampa's going to get WrestleMania again at some point, as it should, frankly. But if Los Angeles can't host it, you know, right now the government in California is saying it's not going to allow for these big public events until either some sort of widespread human immunity or a vaccine is available. So if that's the case, and if Florida is saying, hey, we're open for business, then maybe they go forward with that. But as you said, we don't know. It's so uncharted. And, you know, I personally am in the belief that we are a long, long way from having large crowds in public events. Just my opinion from the research I've done, I think 2020 is a wash in that sense. But who am I to say? I'm not a medical professional. I leave it up to the medical professionals to make those determinations. And would I love for them to be back? Yeah, absolutely. Would I love to have sports back for the sake of my job? Absolutely, I would. I miss hosting my show. But, you know, it's just one of those circumstances where it's completely out of our control. And I think that's something that I was talking with a sports sociologist today. You don't want to risk returning too quick, because then the damage could be irreversible. And if WrestleMania were to play a part in that, I mean, imagine what that could mean.
What's kind of the next element of the story? Do you think it dies here? There's some other angles, tentacles to this thing? What are you thinking?
You know, I mean, I don't know. I think the next thing that happens is we see who else decides to take advantage of this executive order and what the broadcasting rights companies have to say. You know, does Fox or NBC Universal have anything to say about this? Will we see more political connotations come out of this? Who's to say? You know, there very well could be more that come out of this. And will we find more coincidences? I don't know. But I just can't stress it enough, Josh. You know, when you approach a story like this, and I don't mean to be redundant and reiterate it, but when you approach covering a story like this, you don't approach it with an agenda. It is our job to serve the public. This has been a public interest. I can tell you that there have been several people, as I alluded to before, you know, high on the totem pole, who have reached out to me and said, hey, do you know anything about this? So I do think that there is some concern. One thing we haven't really talked about is that with these live tapings, WWE is now bringing talent in multiple times a week, and WWE won't be alone in that if others choose to take advantage of this. So we could be seeing more people traveling, which could open people up to more exposure for all we know. So I'm really curious to see how it unfolds in the immediate future as well. Obviously, we'll be following it, and it's impossible to predict, because who could have predicted we'd be in the spot in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tell the people about Living the Gimmick. It's a Patreon funded, and I believe you do a few free shows potentially as well. Tell a bit about Living the Gimmick and what's it about and how people can get involved.
Sure. Living the Gimmick, a pro wrestling podcast, drops every single Tuesday morning, featuring myself and Doug McDonald, and as well as Josh Eisenberg, formerly of Chairshot Reality. We bring in a fun, entertaining spin on pro wrestling. We bring you interviews just as you guys do. And it's a really fun, enjoyable look at pro wrestling. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/livinggimmick, that provides a whole bunch of bonus content. We've got a private chat. We've got watch-alongs that we do of classic shows. We have preview shows, review shows that are all video exclusive to Patreon, and it's a whole lot of fun. That drops every Tuesday, as I said, as part of the Wrestle Reaction Network, Living the Gimmick, a pro wrestling podcast, available on whatever service you get your podcasts on.
And you never know when John Alba is going to appear in a pro wrestling ring.
Oh, yes.
That's for sure.
Emmy in tow, and maybe get my face kicked in a little bit.
That's fine. I apologize in the intro. I didn't mention you were an Emmy Award winner.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to go too in and out of character here, but you should be ashamed of yourself.
And that, for those that know the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson, he's a huge mark for this Emmy. Is that correct?
I guess we have to get contact here. You know, my pro wrestling extension of myself carries around my legitimate Emmy award, and it has been quite a hit in the locker rooms within pro wrestling. The Dirty Daddy, Rene Dupree. Huge fan of the Emmy Award. And yes, you know, they may be world heavyweight champions, but they ain't carrying that pretty girl around with them.
You're damn right. Damn right. Tell people where to follow you on social media and how to interact with you. And then also with the station as well. Keep abreast of the story.
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at John Alba, JONALBA. Follow us on Twitter at MyNews13. And then you can find me on Facebook as well. John Alba, multimedia journalist.
Best hair in the business. I didn't think you'd we'd be talking under these circumstances, but I'm glad we did, and you were able to make your debut appearance on Josh Nason's Punch Out. John Alba, thanks so much for stopping by.
Let's do it again sometime. Appreciate it.
All right. Big thanks to John Alba for stopping by. Obviously, you can follow his work on Twitter, JONALBA. I do have that right, I hope. Yes, JONALBA. There's links to, obviously, Spectrum Sports 360, which is the sports arm of the news outlet, Spectrum News 13. Down in Orlando, if you want to keep following along with that story, and also the Living the Gimmick podcast as well. Full disclosure, as John mentioned, I was a guest on that show. Guest host a while ago, and obviously Limitless Wrestling in Maine, which I've talked about before in this show, and John has some involvement in that as well. But obviously follow him, check him out, talks a lot about wrestling and all that other stuff. So yeah, if you want to get a handle of what's going on down in Florida, John would be a great follow to have. So as we're recording this, or actually just before we start recording this, a news story in Variety came out that Dana White essentially and the UFC are planning for Las Vegas to be opened up. Or at least the restrictions are to be opened up, allowing them to be deemed an essential business and to be able to run shows at the Apex, their facility that they built last year. I think it was last year, yeah. And starting in May, which is pretty crazy because that came hours after a story that in ESPN that essentially May 9th is looking to be our next big card, next card in general. A pay-per-view, and this thing is loaded up. If they're able to get the show that they're promising, they haven't announced the location yet, but the show on paper, and paper's always dangerous, looks to be pretty stacked. So this is, it could be, again, I feel so hypocritical saying it, Fight Fan me saying, could be a lot of fun if they're able to pull off. There's a lot of hurdles to get there, but we'll talk about that more with our guest that's going to come on later as I record this Wednesday, and then that show will be dropping on Thursday. I won't tell you who it is, but I don't want to spoil it in case something happens, but it's a past guest of the show. So a lot of personality and energy, and so on. I've been looking forward to talking again for quite some time. So we'll talk to that person a little bit later on Wednesday, hopefully, and you'll hear that Thursday. So big thanks to John Alba. Thanks to all of you for listening. Obviously, if you have questions, you can tweet either of us, Josh Nason or John Alba on Twitter, and we'll do our best to answer them. Until next time, insert catchphrase here.